Good morning and welcome to Ask the Pro, a paid commercial program. The opinions expressed are those of the participating clients and not necessarily those of the management and staff of WLVL. Ask the Pro is an informational-based program designed to advertise the product and or service of the client and to introduce them to the WLVL listening audience. Your questions and comments are welcome throughout the show. If you'd like to talk to today's pro, just call 433-1433. That's 433-1433.
All right. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is your host, Eric Cook, here with Dr. Ken Kerbs, all things chiropractic on your Ask the Pro show. You can feel free to call in with questions for Dr. Kerbs at 433-1433. Now, Dr. Kerbs, I got to ask you, were you listening to Tradio on your way in? Uh-oh. Did I turn you on? There we go. Sorry about
that. Can you hear me?
I did. I forgot to turn you on.
Okay. Yeah, you had me cut off.
So I did. Sorry about that.
So what's interesting is, and my family gets very frustrated with me, but I do not listen to a radio in the car. I drive in silence, or I usually have an audio book or something like that on. So I typically don't listen to the radio. So I'm sorry. No, I did not.
Okay. Well, the reason I asked is because one of the callers made an observation that there are new listeners coming in.
Oh.
Because everybody on Tradio knows everybody by their phone number. And she's like, I don't recognize all these new phone numbers. And so the point is that we're growing. The station is growing. Our listenership is growing. And what I would like to do for the new listeners is just pretend that this is our very first show we ever had. And I would like you to just introduce yourself, tell your services, talk about you for a little while. Tell us, you know, what you stand for, what you'd like to accomplish in your mission, because I know you've been at this forever. And so you really have a really solid foundation in your services and in your practice. And I just thought it would be really nice for the new listeners to hear about you.
Yeah, so that's fine. So for those of you who are new, welcome. You know, I've been a chiropractor now for 38 and a half years. Been practicing in Lockport for 37 of those years, practiced for almost 2 years down in Charlotte, North Carolina, prior to coming back up here. This is my hometown. I'm a Roy Hart graduate, and that was a few years back. But so, yes, here I am. The other thing is we've been doing this radio show now for 30 years. March of this past year was my 30th anniversary of starting this, and it started way back when Clip Smith was my very first host, back in like 1991.
Wow.
That's when we started this. So
are you a firm or a ginnam?
It's interesting because I can hardly believe from when that started. And, you know, my rep for many, many years here at the station was Paula Falcioni. And for anybody that's involved in this station knows who Paula is. And Paula was my rep for probably 37 years. Yep. And I'll never forget the day she walked into my office in January of 1985 and realized I had just opened my practice in December of 84. She walked into my office and started proposing something about advertising on the local station. And her and I developed a relationship both professionally and a friendship came out of that. And Paula represented me for over 35 years until she left the station. So, and I have been here continuously since then. So then 30 years ago when they started the Ask the Pro show and they came to me and asked me, would I be interested in it? I said, yeah, absolutely. Had no idea we'd be sitting here 30 years later still doing this. So it's kind of interesting. So,
isn't that something?
So whenever those national syndicated shows are ready to pick me up, just come on, give me a call. So
yeah,
we're ready to move
as
on.
Well, they
but
should.
I'm still local. I'm still just a local hometown boy, you know, and that's where we've stayed. So interesting in chiropractic, you know, people have incredible misconceptions about what I do and what my profession does. When people associate chiropractic with back pain, you know, statistically, that is certainly the number one reason that people come to seek chiropractic care is for mostly lower back, but also neck pain. Those are the primary, what I call portals of entry into the chiropractic world. And usually after a lot of other methods have failed, you know, whether it be going to the primary care physician, dealing with medication, dealing with physical therapy, dealing with all kinds of interventions that were unsuccessful. And then unfortunately, or fortunately for them, but unfortunately that they had to wait so long, is that they finally sought out chiropractic care either through a recommendation or just out of desperation. And when we start looking at and evaluating the underlying situation, you find you're looking for the root cause of the problem. And it's usually structural in nature, and it is usually emanating from the central nervous system, that is the spinal cord in some way. And so the reason that I even touch a person's back is because that's my access into the central nervous system. It's not just because someone has back pain. It's interesting. I just got a text just before we went on the air, and I was responding to the text, and they were asking, is there any way you can stop a baby from crying all the time? You know, now most people don't think, why would you take a baby to a chiropractor? Well, when you have a newborn infant who's crying all the time, now realize there should be only a couple reasons why a baby should cry. Either they're hungry, they're wet, or they're tired. Okay. Set aside those. When all those needs are met, if that baby is crying on a regular and continuous basis, there is something wrong. The problem is the only way they can communicate to you is by crying. They can't speak to you. They can't tell you what's going on. And many times, so the most common diagnosis with the pediatricians are, oh, they're colicky. And they just brush it off and say, well, they'll outgrow it. Well, when you're dealing especially with a newborn baby and they're dealing with a lot of fussing and crying, there's usually something structural going on, and it's usually because of birth trauma, especially if they were born via cesarean section or some other intervention such as forceps or suction delivery or something like that. There's always going to be spinal trauma, you know, associated with that and some interference within the nervous system. And over the years, I doing this as long as I have, I've treated many, many, many colicky babies and fussy babies and babies with, reoccurring ear infections and strep throats and stuff like that. And realize, let me make it clear, I do not treat ear infections. I do not treat strep throats. I do not treat colic. Okay. What I treat is the underlying structural issue within the child, which is many times the underlying source of why that's occurring. And I have seen babies who were crying and screaming. One example, I had a three-month-old come in one time. This was many years ago. She's actually in college now. It was a third child of this mother. Mother was desperate. Knew me because my son and her oldest son were good friends in school. So there was a casual relationship. They knew me. And they sought out care and came in. This baby cried, never slept more than 2 hours in a time. She was already 3 months old. I did the specific diagnostic test that I do on a newborn infant thermography scanning. Saw that there was a lot of upper cervical involvement. Mom hands the baby over to me. I adjust the baby very gently. Before mom and I got done talking, the baby was asleep in her arms. And I talked to the mom the next day, and she was, we talked, and she was actually panicking because when she got home, she was so worried because that baby slept for 12 hours. Okay. Now realize this is a 3-month-old baby who never made it more than 2 hours without screaming and crying and all that stuff. And especially as a new parent, it's so frustrating to try and obviously the thing is to console your baby, to make them comfortable, and yet you feel helpless. And when that goes on and on and on for long periods of time, it can be very taxing, both on the child and on the parent. And you know what? I only needed to treat that little baby 2-3 times, and the problem was resolved. It doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes it takes a little bit more work, depending on what's going on. Another example of a 5-day-old baby who I had treated the older sister. Mom called me literally in an absolute panic. She was afraid she was going to hurt her baby because from the moment that baby was born, it screamed for 5 days straight. It never slept. It just cried and cried and cried. When we started discussing more about what happened in the birth and stuff like that, there was some very significant birth trauma. Again, we looked at the underlying structural issues and functional issues, especially of the upper cervical spine, the upper neck, and certainly saw some issues because it was a very traumatic birth. started treating that little boy, and he's about 18 years old now, and things resolve very, very quickly with that once you start relieving that pressure. And yet, even pediatricians will throw up their hands. They don't know what to do. They just brush it off and say, oh, they'll just deal with it, you know, or they'll outgrow it or whatever, you know. Babies aren't born to be fussy, okay? So people will say to me so many times, for those who don't know me, I have 5 children of my own. And, you know, obviously being the chiropractor, and taking care of my wife, not only throughout the pregnancies, but before pregnancies and afterwards, you know, she had wonderful, wonderful pregnancies. And we had a difficult time getting pregnant. My wife and I dealt with a lot of infertility issues. But when she got pregnant, she had absolutely fantastic pregnancies. She never had morning sickness. She never was uncomfortable. She loved being pregnant. It was a pleasure. It wasn't a torture. And of my 5 children, 3 of them slept through the night within the first week of birth, okay? And the other 2 took 4 weeks. And both of those 2, my first child and my 4th child, were both born a little prematurely, within about 2.5 and 3.5 weeks early. So once we got that straightened out, boom, they were done. And we never had issues with that. People say, oh, you're so lucky. It's like, no, it has nothing to do with luck. It is how do you approach the health of that child. You know, we think that baby drops out of mommy and then it's just supposed to do what it's supposed to do. And many times there's interference within that nervous system that's creating the problems that are occurring. Well, because again, the baby can't communicate. The only way they can express themselves is through crying and fussing. And it's amazing. It's amazing to see these little miracles just change in your hands. And that's probably the most impactful thing that I see in my practice. You know, it's one thing when you can help anybody out of pain, but when you take that horribly frustrated parent and that baby who is just struggling with just trying to get through a day, and all of a sudden everything can shift literally sometimes in the moment. You know, it's pretty amazing to watch that happen.
That is incredible, because you're talking about the quality of life for both parents and child.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Well, the baby I said that was crying for 5 days, the mother called me in desperation because she was afraid she was going to hurt her baby.
Right.
Okay. It was that bad.
Right.
Because she just didn't know where to go. It was that bad. And literally, she was in that office that day. Like, I knew. I mean, I had treated her older daughter for much less serious issues a few years before. And I knew that there was no doubt that that woman needed to be seen in the moment. I literally said, you need to come here now. And we did, and things shifted from there. So, yeah, it's amazing. I look at this and, you know, I'm at the point in my career where everybody asks, are you going to retire? When are you retiring? I go, I hope never, you know, because the thing is that when you can have that kind of an impact on a person, I can't imagine saying to someone, sorry, I'm retired, I can't help you. I just can't imagine that.
Yeah. You know? We can't imagine our community without you serving it.
Well, so. and I hope, you know, because, you know, you have to look at what's happening here now. I mean, we're going on the second generation now. So, you know, of my 5 kids, you know, my son is a chiropractor. Okay. My middle daughter is a year and a half away of becoming a chiropractor, getting her doctorate now. She's down in Atlanta and will be graduating in March of 2023, that she will be graduating. My son, who graduated 4 years ago, practiced in Norway for the last 3.5 years, and then recently moved back to the States. And he's now in a practice in Ithaca. So, you know, hopefully we will come full circle and somebody will be here to pick up the reins when I'm ready to step down. I hope that's a long ways away, because
so
I just
do I.
don't want to do that. So,
yeah. So do I. We just have too much fun here.
It's been a great career. You know, I have a very misunderstood career. But you know what? I just keep my blinders on and keep moving forward, because I'll help people no matter what someone else thinks. You know, it's interesting because people, you know, people say, well, you chiropractors think you can do everything. It's like, no, not at all. But, you know, so I've had many patients who have had terminal cancer. So realize this, I don't treat cancer, but there's no reason to not treat a person with cancer. Okay. And that you can make a significant difference in their overall comfort level and their decrease in the use of some of the serious drugs and things like that, when you can make their nervous systems function better. And you know what? It's not about curing them. It's about sometimes, because I mean, believe me, the success rate even in the, quote, cancer treatment world isn't that hot. But you can at least make that person more comfortable. And again, as you said before, the quality of their life can make all the difference in the world, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And let's move up a couple of years. They're infants. Now school is starting and school sports is starting. How many high school injuries do you get and what do you do?
It's interesting because you see that, and that's something that I'm seeing more of that now, okay, because, again, 30 years ago, why would anybody take a kid to a chiropractor, okay?
Right.
But yet, if you look at today in our society today, you look at any high-level athlete, high-level collegiate athlete, professional athlete in every sport, whether it be, you know, in football, baseball, golf, whatever, or you go into the Olympics, there are chiropractors involved in every aspect of that. Because it's not about just treating a person, but sometimes it's literally about fine-tuning that system so that they can reach their optimal potential. And that's where, when that nervous system is operating at its optimal potential, that's when that person in whatever aspect of their life is going to operate. So, you know, over the years, I've treated many of, you know, athletes from football players and wrestlers to swimmers to dancers, soccer players, and so forth. You know, my kids all went through the, you know, from the time each one of them were 4 years old, they were involved in sports. All my kids were three sport athletes in, all through high school, and my girls all danced on top of their sports and that. So many times, you know, people would say, hey, you know, why don't you go see my dad, or why don't you, you know, do something like that? And I've had some very significant differences with patients as a result of that. But it's a choice people make. You know, the unfortunate thing is people always run to their primary first. And you know what? They're great for what they do, but they can't handle it all. And I think sometimes people need to wake up and say, you know what? Maybe you should go see the chiropractor. Maybe you should go do this because it's really outside of what I'm able to help you with. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a little bit more of that now, but that could be a whole lot better.
Sure.
Yeah.
And another new phenomena that I've observed, I've been a teacher for decades and decades, and so I just watch kids, I observe. And what I'm seeing is posturing issues with the gaming and the phones.
It's horrible.
I'm seeing hunched over shoulders, I'm seeing necks that are down, and a child that literally can't look you in the eye.
It's interesting because there's actually new diagnostic codes out there now. There was a diagnostic code for what's called text neck. You know, because someone's always looking down. You know what? Social media technology has not been favorable to our society, especially to our children.
Right.
I mean, you have kids. You know what? When you and I were kids, you know, what did you do to occupy your time?
You went and played in the dirt.
Right. Exactly. You were out. You know, mom said, you know, get back before it gets dark.
Mm-hmm.
And you were out and doing things all the time. And I saw an interesting picture someone posted about, this is what we did when we were teaching, and we were showing two boys pulling the engine out of a car and, you know, and doing that kind of stuff. And, you know, I grew up on a small, what I call a hobby farm, you know, and we did all those things. There was no such thing as a cell phone or a game or, you know, video games or any of that stuff.
Right.
Now you have literally people that consume their lives with that stuff.
Right, and it's a lethargic lifestyle.
Yeah, it's so totally
now,
inactive.
Now we're seeing the obesity that goes with the lack
of activity. Well, that's also due to the tremendously disgusting diets that the standard American diet is horrible for what we're doing. You know, again, I saw a picture posted from back in, I think it was in the 70s, and it showed a beach in Florida. You didn't see a single fat person on the beach.
That's right.
Okay, now, oh my gosh. And again, people have different reasons for that, and it's not always their fault. But you look at what's happened within the food industry and how everything has gone to all these highly processed foods and seed oils and all these things that are literally fueling the epidemics. You know, it's amazing what's happening, you know, and it's kind of sad because we're destroying the health of our society, you know, just literally through diet. You know, we could prevent an awful lot of disease through diet.
Right, because
the vast majority of them.
Food is medicine, right?
Absolutely. You know, you can either use food as your medicine or medicine as your food.
Right.
Because that's what happens when you choose either one.
Absolutely.
And that's what, when you see people that are older, when you see people above the age of 40, what amazes me, it's become rarer and rarer to see a person above the age of 40 that is not on multiple medications for daily living. And the three big ones are blood pressure lowering, cholesterol lowering, and blood sugar lowering. So if there's a call, let's go ahead and
grab
that.
Do it. Hey, good morning. You are on Ask the Pro with Dr. Ken Kerbs. How are you doing this morning?
Good. I'm just curious on what you think of CBD.
Yeah. That's interesting. So if you would have asked me that 3 years ago, my opinion would have been extremely different. But realize that back in, I believe it was in 2016, the actual Nobel Peace Prize for Health was won by a scientist who discovered what's called the endocannabinoid system within our body. And it's a system of receptors within our own bodies, all human bodies, that are there to receive the benefits of CBD. Okay. And so it's very interesting because for many, many years, cannabis, marijuana, which is produces both CBD and THC, and it's the THC portion of it that is the more has the more effect on the brain. But CBD also comes from hemp, which is where you'll get most of those products derived from now. But they are incredibly beneficial in so many areas as far as pain reduction and so forth. And what the interesting thing is about CBD is you cannot overdose and you cannot get addicted to it. So it's kind of interesting where we have this huge opioid crisis that was created by an industry intentionally, and it's gotten out of control. And now you start seeing a little bit of a change. But when people start going to naturally based products like CBD, which is what our bodies are programmed to receive and has been used for many, many years in other cultures. But scientists knew this many, many years ago, and they didn't, that a lot of that information was all covered up, because there were other, petroleum based pharmaceuticals that were far more profitable. See, hemp and cannabis are extremely cheap to grow. It's, you know, they're a weed basically. All right. And so when you can grow and produce this stuff very inexpensively, there are certain industries that don't particularly like that. So, yeah, it can be very beneficial in a lot of different ways as far as, you know, decrease anxiety issues, decrease pain issues, and a lot of different aspects of it. So
that's a good question. Yeah. Thank you, caller. Yeah. She has since hung up.
Oh, she has. Okay, good. Yeah. I hope I answered her
question. I think you did. That was really, really good. Cause that leads me to one of my other questions, you know, treatment versus cure.
Yeah.
In the health.
We don't want cures in the healthcare field, okay?
No, there's no money in cures.
There's no, right. There is no intention for cure, all right? I mean, I have seen people totally transform their lives by drastically changing diets and eliminate, you know, dropping the weight and eliminating all the use. You know, you realize the three big drugs, cholesterol lowering, blood pressure lowering, and blood sugar lowering are all lifestyle related drugs. And right. Probably about 99% of them can be controlled just by lifestyle. Yet we don't do that. We don't promote that in any way in our healthcare system. You know, it's amazing because it's not healthcare, it's sick care. You know, that's all we do is, you know, you literally are born and you wait till the first symptom occurs and then you're given a drug. And then you wait till the next one occurs and you give a drug. Well, like we started at the beginning of the show talking about the colicky baby. They do nothing for it. They'll actually tell the mother, go home and run the vacuum cleaner in front of them because it'll soothe them. It'll soothe them with the constant noise. It's like, how ridiculous is that? Why don't you address the underlying cause of the problem and start treating and balancing the nervous system and making sure that the diet is clean and so forth? And that's what can make far more of a difference than anything. That's the difference. And we talked about this on the last show about, you know, our conventional healthcare system has become so specialized that now we literally just treat body parts. You know, we have a specialty that treats a body part. And if it's outside of the scope of that body part, they don't address it at all. Whereas chiropractic, you know, which has been around for, let's see, it's been 126 years now. The same principles that were discovered 126 years ago on September 18th, which is coming up very soon, of 1995, that same principle still holds true today. All right? I practice on the same principles that Dr. D.D. Palmer discovered the profession on in 1895. And it's not old and antiquated or not, because the thing is, if it works, time has proven it. Okay? It has stood the test of time throughout. Since its inception.
Well, wouldn't you think that ancient times people would tweak each other, bend
And well, just to label it something else, you know, right, they wouldn't call him a doctor of chiropractic. They would just say, I'm going to do this and it will make you feel better.
Yep, absolutely. So interestingly enough, you've never been in my office, but hanging in my private in my office are two very large prints of Chinese. And if you looked at them, they were actually performing adjustments.
Sure.
Okay. And that goes back to, I think it was something like 6,000 years ago. It was a very, very, very long time ago that these inscriptions were made. And they've been in my office for, God, 25 years. So D.D. Palmer is the one that discovered the impact of what that did, and he's the one that then developed what we know now as chiropractic. It doesn't mean that something like an adjustment or a treatment that I do wasn't done in before that. But okay. The formal formation of the profession actually was 1895. So, yes. Yeah, there is recorded history of things like that, but it was never formalized. It was very specialized with only certain people knew what to do. But it's interesting that was documented.
Yeah. And hence the Palmer College of Chiropractic, your alma mater.
It's where it all started.
That's really, really interesting.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to go down any rabbit holes if I don't have to, but
I like going down rabbit holes sometimes.
There seems to be the powers that be want everybody to either to get, if there's a, employers have more than 100 people, they want everyone to be vaccinated.
Oh, I'm telling you, you are going to take me in a deep hole here. Okay. So this is a huge problem. Okay. First of all, you know, you want to, when you look at what's going on here, and again, I've been tracking the numbers and I have the most recent numbers here. You know, in the situation of forcing the issue, you have to realize that where are the profits being made and who's driving this agenda? The problem is, you know, things are being exposed as far as more truthful information coming out about this. But the fact is, what is the difference of under 100 employees or over 100 employees? I just don't understand this. We've pulled so many strings throughout this last year and a half. It's truly amazing. We still to date, and this is as of not, what is today? Today is the 10th. Mm-hmm. Today is the 10th. So these stats were as of 9/8. So this was as of Wednesday. So far, since the beginning of the pandemic, there has only been 2.7% of the world population has contracted COVID. 2.7%. There has been only 0.06, that's 0.06% death rate associated with this disease. And the overall recovery rate, and it depends on your age and your factors, are at the low end 97% and at the high end 99.75% survival rate. Okay? So just based on those statistics, for the life of me, you know there's some other underlying agenda here. In yesterday's front page news of Lockport Union Sun and Journal, the Niagara County Health Department stated we're in a high transmissibility rate in Niagara County, all right? And then as you read the article, there are 4 people hospitalized right now. So realize, we have 4 hospitals in Niagara County. We have a population of 250,000 people in Niagara County, all right? What are we doing? Why are we scaring people and this nonstop constant fear, okay, that has really changed people's lives both mentally and physically forever for some of them. Now, there was interesting because there was somebody that died in Lockport recently. They said, he died of COVID. And when I started asking more questions, it was like, wait a minute here. It was a man with all the criteria primed up for if they were going to get sick. They were wanting, as far as, you know, health comorbidities and health conditions. And then I heard that he actually developed sepsis and died. So my question is, if somebody dies from COVID, where COVID is the cause of death, or somebody dies with COVID, is a totally distinct difference. Okay, so let's go to the calls.
He just hung up.
Ah, okay. Well, yeah, call back, please.
That's right. I was just going to bring up the differentiation of dying with or of COVID.
Totally different ballgame.
Because the older generation has so many comorbidities.
Right. So first of all, realize this. Just in now, let's just stay to our county, Niagara County.
Okay.
Okay, in Niagara County, I will give you the accurate population of Niagara County is 210,866 people reside in Niagara County, okay? In the course of the entire pandemic now, this is not just this week, last week, or whatever, there have been, now we're talking a year and a half, there has been 21,366 positive cases, okay? And there have been 379 deaths associated with it, and every one of them were in the prime age group and with multiple comorbidities. So, again, let's go to the phones.
All right. Hey, good morning. You are on Ask the Pro with Dr. Ken Kerbs. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your question?
Go ahead.
How are we doing this morning?
Good. What's your question?
My question is, the COVID thing, I kind of see through this kind of stuff. I've been doing it for a bit. And the certificate of vaccination ID is what that particular COVID means. And the 19 in gematria means AI. I don't know, understand why more people don't understand what exactly we're dealing with, if you don't mind me saying so. And I know for a fact, for this to be true, they never isolated the virus to even be able to make a so-called vaccine. So these jabs, if you would, have nothing to do with any pandemic at all. And I'm surprised why so many people that I come across don't have any idea about this information.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much. What's the problem is there's so much information being peddled out there, and there's information that is being suppressed, and there's information that is being controlled and told by who wants to control the picture. So there's a lot of controversy out there about it. You know, the latest stats I've seen is that something like 80%, of people now have antibodies, because again, that's what happens when people get sick. They develop antibodies, and they have shown that a natural infection produces a far more robust immune response than an injection does. Because realize this, that viruses can only enter the body naturally in two ways, and that is either through the respiratory tract or through the digestive tract. And this one happens to be a respiratory virus. So the thing is, it has to enter through the respiratory tract. When it enters that way, our bodies have developed for millions of years. We have survived all this time because those things are ongoing. So the body is going to adapt. And the realizes that it stimulates the immune system to produce a antibody response. When you take that natural approach away, and now you take this virus and now you inject it directly into the bloodstream, it bypasses the natural portal of entry. And so therefore it creates a very different type of immune response. And many times with some very significant side effects and so forth, because it's not the way it was designed to enter. So again, people may or may not agree with me. It doesn't really matter. We all have the right to our opinion. But I've been in this game for 40 years. It's like when you watch how things progress, you can see that there's a lot of misinformation and a lot of suppressed information about this. We know now.
If you don't mind me saying so, excuse me for interrupting you.
Yep, go ahead.
In Alberta, Canada, the health department had to go to court because somebody was arrested for being in a crowd that was more than 10. And he, a very intelligent young man, and he took them to court, and they could not prove that the virus even existed, okay? So we're going to get past the fact that the virus doesn't even exist, all right? There is a coronavirus that's on the back of our Lysol can. It says, the Lysol kills it.
Yep.
But
there's a lot of coronaviruses out there. They cause most respiratory
infections. This is very satanic. This is very satanic. It's all about bringing in Satan's rule. That's what it's totally about. It has nothing to do with our health, because if they really cared about our health, well, you know, we probably wouldn't be able to buy a cigarette. And, right. you know, you might not even get alcohol. It's not about anything like that.
Right.
It's about total control. It's about the New World Order tearing down. You know, when Home Depot can stay open and Lowe's can stay open and a corporate chain restaurants can stay open, mom and pop stores can't. And the churches you can't go to, and the restaurants you can't go to, because that's where we gather and we talk and we pray against this demonic force that's sweeping across. They're going to lose. All right, we already won, but I wish more people understood that this is a very, very spiritual battle. It has 150%. If you ask me, you know, I know that through my research. But they're, once again, they have not isolated the virus. So how can you prove that there's a virus? You can't.
Yeah.
You
know what? The thing is, I don't disagree with you. However, look what has happened, okay? Because we have these so-called experts, and there are many experts out there, and the ones that aren't following the game plan, they are suppressed. I mean, when you look at how so much speech is being suppressed, how people are being cut off social medias and things like that because they're not talking the right talk, that's a problem. Okay. You know, so yeah, it's, I don't disagree with you. I certainly hope and pray that at some point all of this does get exposed for what it really is. The problem
is,
it has been left a lot of people.
On the CD website, you go and look and click on the right links on the CD website, you're going to find the information right there.
Yeah.
So this is going to stop. I don't mean to go off on this, but people are going to be hanging for this. They're going to be going to Nuremberg Code. They've already violated every tenet of the Nuremberg Code. And now we're talking about the World Court, the Hague.
Yeah.
This is going to be taking place. I mean,
And I hope sooner than later. I hope sooner than later. And we'll see. You know, time will tell. I've stood my ground since the very beginning of this thing. Nothing has been there that has convinced me to change my mind as far as how this thing has been played. And so, you know what? It is what it is. And I hope and pray that it doesn't get exposed. So thank you.
The prayer is good, but what really blows my mind is nobody died of the flu this year.
You're right. Everything.
But people who died in car accidents, had heart attacks, died of cancer, fell down and hit their head and died, they all had COVID.
Yep.
We know that the PCR tests are juiced up to about 40, 48. Yep. They give false positives. It's one big frickin' scam.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now they're making our kids wear masks in schools in Orleans County, which has us not very happy, because we know the masks don't do anything. But I do know this: when these satanic entities, when these Satan worshipers, when they worship Satan, they stand 6 feet apart and they wear masks. That tells us anything.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, you know what? Again, those are some of the rules and the things that they've put down are absolutely foolish. You know, somebody said to me, oh, if you stand away and as long as you – if you're the distance where you don't – you can't blow out a candle, then you're a safe distance. It's like, oh, please, stop it.
I just got this to say for you, and I appreciate your time, both of you. Remember that COVID means certificate of vaccination ID, and gematria 19 is AI. We got to see right through this. Japan just found metal, stainless steel in the Moderna shots. And they said, well, that's no problem because you've got stainless steel in your hip joints and you got knee replacements. Yeah. But that's all titanium. Right. But also remember, they never isolated the virus to be able to make a vaccine or do anything. It's all a scam, and it's not a very good one. It's the mark of the beast type thing.
Yeah.
You can't go in the store and buy this. You can't do this. You can't go to a restaurant unless you got your papers, you got your mark, you know.
Yeah.
It's very, very diabolical if you ask me personally.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller. You gave us
time, and I wish you both a blessed day.
Thank you too.
So much.
You gave us an awful lot to chew on here.
You know, I see now it's things like this, conversations like this, and, you know, someone will say to him, oh, that man doesn't know what he's talking about. So, wait a minute here. No, believe me, he's been paying attention.
He has.
You know, and it's kind of sad that we've gotten to this point. The restrictions that are being put on. First of all, realize this: viruses do not work in the way that they have manipulated them. This has become extremely political. You can see, you know, a virus does not sit there and select certain states or certain cities or certain areas. You have no control over that. The other thing is, realize this. I have said year after year for probably the last 20 years, about trying to stimulate this whole pandemic scare, and they've tried it with so many diseases, from West Nile to swine flu to bird flu to Ebola to, and just go back to SARS to Legionnaires' disease to all these things, and they've just tried scaring people, and it's never worked because those were very, very specific type of viruses. Right. Now we have the coronavirus. And since most respiratory illnesses are caused by coronaviruses, okay, it is very easy to what I call fool people, because any cold or flu-like symptoms could be caused by a coronavirus. Now we've isolated it to the novel COVID-19 virus, and yet you have a test, the PCR test, which when people don't realize this, when they're trying to pick up the virus in a PCR test, they do what's called cycling, okay? And they say that to – and this is the inventor of the PCR test, is that the cycle should be no more than like 25 to pick up what they need to do. And they were cycling these things at above 30 and 40 cycles, which means if you ever had a cold caused by a coronavirus in your life, it might have been 10 years ago, and there was remnant DNA still in your system because of that, it would pick that up, and you would then be a positive test, which is very inaccurate. So you look at this thing, and the thing is that when we look at the number of cases in the world are at 219 million cases worldwide. All right? 200 million cases worldwide seems like an unbelievable amount. But again, realize that's only 2.7% of the population.
Right, nine,
so just
people.
Do simple math.
Right.
Just take the population
right.
divided by the cases. And you go, what are we so afraid of?
Right.
And someone will say to me, someone asked me the other day about something. They said, I'm so worried about my daughter in Texas and blah, 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 blah. I'm going like, wait a minute here. We're a year and a half into this thing. Okay. If you haven't gotten it, you know, the likelihood isn't there.
Right.
So.
Boy, I wish we had more time. We have another caller.
Yeah, quickly. We're running out of time.
Yeah, we are. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Ken Kerbs. How are you this morning?
Pretty good. Thank
good morning.
You. To change the subject, I was wondering, Dr. Kerbs, do you adjust someone who has thoracic cages?
Say that again.
Do you adjust someone who has thoracic cages?
You mean like had a surgical fusion of their thoracic spine?
Yes. Titanium cages.
Yeah, okay. So first of all, realize this is that that does not become an issue. Obviously, with someone in that situation, certain techniques can't be used, but there are other techniques that can be used. So that does not preclude one from undergoing chiropractic care when the right techniques are utilized based on the situation. So that still can be dealt with, because you still have – usually when they're doing a fusion of some sort, they're usually doing two or three levels. You still have, there's 24 levels in your spine. There's still other areas to work on and work around. And there's also some very specific techniques that I have that do not create any type of issue or risk involved with that type of a past surgical history. So yes, I have worked on people with neck fusions, with lower back fusions, with any area of the spine. You just have to be aware of the area, the level of involvement, and what is being done, and then adapt the treatment accordingly. So, yes.
Okay. Good. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
That was a great question. Thank you so much for calling.
And that's what happens sometimes. People think that because they've had a surgical fusion that they can no longer be treated. Well, you know what? You're not going to go into that direct area, but boy, there's so much going on above and below that you can make such a difference. I have many patients who are post-surgical cases that have had wonderful results. And I've had many patients who have avoided surgery altogether because of undergoing regular chiropractic care. You know, so it's a choice one makes. The thing is, it's always, I always say, you know, if somebody has a question or concern, come and talk to me. Just have a consultation with me. Just talk with me now, no, with no other obligation. And I don't charge to do consultations. So the thing is, say, hey, is this a right fit for you or not? I can explain to you exactly what's going to be done and what to expect. And then you make a choice. I mean, anybody that knows me, so I'm the high pressure guy. It's like, hey, I'm here to help you. If you don't want help, that's fine. My door is always open if you do down the road.
That's great. Yeah, there, and there's so many other conversations we can have here that we will have in the future, because there's just so much to cover.
Yeah.
Dr. Kerbs, I certainly thank you so much for showing up today and giving us your wealth of wisdom and knowledge and expertise. And I really look forward to speaking with you again in a couple of weeks, because as I do show prep, I just get more and more and more questions that I want to ask you and talk about. And it's just, it's been really good, and I think the listenership is really appreciating.
Great. Thank you so much, Eric. I enjoyed working with you. Thanks.
Listen, have a great day. All right, folks, that's going to do it for Ask the Pro for this week. Today is, again, Friday, September 10th. And so I want you all to have a great week. Think about what you'd like to be asking the pros as they come on. And we'll see you next time on Ask the Pro, WLVL, 1340 AM, 105.3 FM.